Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to The Man's Voice for this Sunday afternoon. We got somebody that's making a lot of noise out there, but other than that, we're good to go here. Got a lot to talk about. There's so many things going on, and the one thing that we're all concerned with is this coronavirus and what's going on with it, but we also have to, I think we should jump in because it seems to be a big issue, the passing of Representative John Lewis, and I'm in Atlanta, so for Atlanta, since he was from here, matter of fact, I was going to use him as one of my guest speakers for something coming up, but I guess we have to pay some respects to Representative John Lewis, because he was one of the people in, you know, through the civil rights who got us to where we are today, so I like to just jump in and say, you know, we appreciate all the work that he did in Congress for standing up for the things that he did during his lifetime. But I'd like to say hello to my panelists. Every 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people are on, and that's great. So let's start off with what's going on, Ron, Darius, Don. Let me see. There's Michael, and there's Bruce. Welcome, guys.
Welcome.
Okay, there we go. There we go. They're there. All right, but Darius, I have a lot of comments for you, but we'll get to those in a little while because there people want to ask you questions. But the one thing that is, of course, going on right now is the coronavirus and. You know, and the president of the United States is saying the reason our numbers are so high is because we're doing more testing than anybody else. And now, but so the administration, my understanding from the news articles this morning, is the Trump administration is trying to block billions of dollars for states to conduct testing and to take money away from the CDC to help the State Department address the pandemic in the United States and abroad. What do you think about that there, Bruce?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you well.
Okay, good. Well, I don't think just by stating numbers you get the whole story. I mean, I've often wondered why – when they say testing, I think your comment about possibly taking money away from state testing, that on the surface that doesn't sound right as far as not a good thing to do. So I need to know more about what, why, and what is the reason. But on the comment about testing, yeah, if we test more, we're gonna tend to uncover more. So I think more than just quoting numbers to make someone look good, one side look good and the other look bad or vice versa, we should be balancing it on, you know, what's the percentage of deaths, what's the percentage of tests done versus tests taken, that sort of thing. And I don't think we're getting a complete picture. We're getting a political picture sometimes skewed one way to the left or to the right. And they can both be guilty of it at times.
All right. So, Don, what are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, I'm glad that everybody's doing well. Secondly, my thoughts are
must be done. I mean, if you didn't cause the testing, you want to find out what the problem is. And, you know, some things you can't control, but it's how you react to what's happening. And our leaders are reacting the wrong way. I mean, we need to do the testing. And then the testing needs to be reported by the CDC. That's the governmental agency that we set up to give us reports. And now he wants the reports sent to an outside agency. I can't believe that we would even let him do something like that. It's political. The numbers are going to be skewed now, and we're not going to get the real numbers. Listen, we're in a serious epidemic. Serious. Lives are at stake. We don't have time to play games. And he's concerned with the election and the economy when you could have all the money in the world, but if you're not healthy enough to spend the money, it doesn't make a difference. We need to get good testing and get scientific results so we can get past this. That's my opinion, and I'm sticking to it.
All right. Darius, what are your thoughts on why is the Trump administration trying to block the billions of dollars that's supposed to go to the city, to the states for testing and stuff, but he's trying to block the funding for that. Do you have any thoughts? What are your thoughts on that?
I really don't want to comment on something that I haven't, you know, I haven't heard, and I don't really know the whole story. What I will say is I do know that he was blocking some more aid from going to states that were not making a genuine effort, he thought, to reopen in some aspects, and some of them, some of the governors who were overreaching, he was proposing that a limit be placed on the funds that they're getting. And I'm thinking this story that you're talking about is trying to include the testing in that same package. So they're just picking out that and saying, oh, okay, he wants to block testing, which doesn't make any sense. But what I believe is happening is the governors who are trying to make a political ploy or perpetuate a bad outcome of the virus in an effort to destroy this president, they are being limited on funds from what I understand, and as they should be. You know, you had situation here in Georgia where the governor said, hey, we're going to go ahead and open, you know, phase one, phase two. And then the mayor of Atlanta tried to buck the governor and go back and say, oh, no, we're going to close. The city of Atlanta is going all the way back to phase one, which means nobody can come outside. Nothing's open. And so the governor felt like she was overreaching, so he sued. So what's going to happen? I'm sorry to be long-winded, but with this, what you guys are missing in the whole picture with the funding is what he's doing is he's trying to convince states or motivate them to start reopening so people can earn a living and provide for their families. If the federal government continues to dole out money, then there is no motivation for these governors to start opening back up their states, and that's what he's attempting to do.
Well, it's amazing to me that the GOP said they were going to do their convention in the month of August, and they're going to do it outside because it's too dangerous for them to do it inside. But then again, they want all the schools open so the kids will be inside. But they're not going to do their convention outside because it's dangerous being in buildings. So, and now he's holding up testing, but he is putting people were in danger, in my opinion. Michael, what are your thoughts?
Well, in regards to Donald Trump and the federal government and how they're handling this,
my thoughts are the same as my thoughts on everything with Donald Trump and the way he's handled it, that he's just an incompetent idiot that doesn't know what he's doing, and he's screwing everything up, and he's making everything worse. So no matter what the question is in regards to Donald Trump and the federal government, David, I'm going to have the exact same answer. So,
all right. Let me see. Ron, what are your thoughts?
Well, I'll tell you my thoughts. So going back to the comments that Bruce made about the numbers being skewed, they are being skewed if you don't dig a little deeper. Or it's not that they're being skewed, it's just that they're being represented at face value, but you have to dig a little deeper. And I've done that, and I hope all of you have. If there's several websites, and I've got my trusted one that actually shows per capita, per 100,000 residents, comparing this country to every other country in the world, and how many deaths we've had, and we're not in great shape. You look at Florida, and you look at Miami specifically, and our hospitals, a good portion of them, if not most of them, the ICUs are at 125% capacity. That means, and in fact, the mayor of Miami-Dade was interviewed this morning on ABC News, that means that they've taken rooms that aren't normally used for ICU patients and they've turned them into ICU. But, you know, how long can that go on for? And the fact is that the number of people, yes, you do more tests, there's going to be more people that turn up positive. That's normal. But I, you know, don't forget that the CDC said that the recommended guidelines for reopening is at least 2 weeks of 10% positivity or lower. Miami-Dade County right now is hovering around 27-28% of the people tested being positive. That's why Miami-Dade is now considered the epicenter of the world. So if you have that kind of numbers of people testing positive, there's only one thing, there's only one way that this is going to go, and it's not the good way. You know, we're headed in a bad direction unless we clamp down, and, you know, people have to wear their masks. I don't know what the problem is with so many people refusing to wear masks. Well, I do know what the problem is, but, you know, the masks have been proven to stop the spread that are ignoring those warnings because either they think they're invincible or they don't care. They don't care to infect other people. I, for one, you know, I'm high risk. I've got underlying health issues, so I don't even go to the grocery store anymore. I get my groceries delivered. So the numbers are going up. The deaths are going up. And the per capita deaths, comparing this country to others, we're not doing much better. I mean, we're doing better than Spain and Italy and England, but there's other countries that you would never even think of that have less deaths per capita than we do. So that is concerning to me.
Right. All right. One of the things that Darius brought up was the mayor of Atlanta not agreeing with the governor of state of Georgia, and the governor is saying, you know, he's opening that people don't have to wear masks and those kinds of things. The Atlanta mayor is saying that's not for the Atlanta people. They have to wear masks. Do you think mayors should be the ones that are in charge of their communities, the governor? What do you think about this argument? Darius, you brought it up, so you must have thoughts about it. What do you think? What do you think is going on, and what do you think? How do you think that should be working?
Well, I believe that what's happening with the mayor of Atlanta is strictly political. You know, we all know that she's a candidate for VP for Joe Biden, so she's posturing for that. But the other thing is, the governor is the chief law enforcement officer of the state. So if the governor says this is the mandate or this is the policy, the mayors don't have a right to overstep what the governor said and make their own, you know, create their own mandates and laws. Now, a lot of people said that, oh, he's fighting about masks. It's not about masks. It's about the fact that she's trying to take everything back to phase one, and you have businesses, people who've invested their money in businesses, and to reopen. I personally know a story of a business owner. He's a restaurant owner. He spent like $50,000 to get prepared to open up because they said on this date you'll be able to open. And he spent all this money to make all of these revisions to his restaurant. And then the mayor decides after a week later, oh, we're going to close it. So the governor has to at some point draw a line because some of these people will try and keep things shut down because they don't want to see the economy reopen. They don't want to see the numbers go up for Trump. And I hate to say it, but they're playing politics. And I applaud the governor for stepping in. Even not only did he have to step in with this, he had to step in with the National Guard to restore order in Atlanta as well because the mayor decided she wanted to side with the crooked DA who's running for reelection, and no police presence was downtown near the Wendy's, and people got shot. I think like 17 people got shot, and a little 8-year-old girl got killed. That's incompetence on the highest level. So the governor needs to step in.
So your statement just said that making money is more important than a person's life. That's what basically you just bottom line said, I think. Well, I mean, that's what you're saying. Businesses need to open. We don't need to wear a mask. I mean, it seems to me if you're listening to what you're saying people need to make money to make the economy work. Don't worry about life or death. I mean, that's kind of what you're saying.
Exactly.
The two aren't mutually exclusive, David. They're not mutually exclusive. You got to have an economy to have a healthy environment. You got to have an economy to have a healthy life. Like, do you say, okay, well, I don't have corona, but everything around me is crumbling. I don't have an economy. I don't have structure. I don't have a police department. I don't have a hospital. I don't have a staff because all of those things are tied to the economy. So they're not mutually exclusive. You can't say, oh, well, if you go to work, then you don't care about my health. It doesn't work that way. Everything is calculated risk. So we have to decide. We have to make a determination. Are we going to allow the fact that there's a percentage that you might get the virus stop us from or cause us to destroy the entire economy that we have?
So once again, what it sounds like you're saying, money, 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 life not important.
No.
You know, you're saying money, money, money. But let me ask Bruce, what are your thoughts on this conversation?
Yeah, I'm glad you called on me. You're not listening to what Darius is saying, David.
I'm listening intensely. I'm telling you what I'm getting from it.
Well, then you're not understanding it because I agree with him that it's not zero economy or health. Those aren't the two choices. You never hear anybody talking about the health-related issues or death-related issues if this economy totally goes dead. Think about that. They never talk about that. So if we want to talk just about the health issues, relate the health issues of no economy at all or a failed economy with the co-virus, then we got a common denominator to talk about. But what I think he's saying, and if he is, I'm agreeing with him, is that you can't have one without the other. Here's a prediction I'll make. Is if some of these states or some of these cities, major cities, say we're going back to ground zero and you all have to cloister in home, it's not going to happen. You can't put the cork back in the bottle. So I think that's true, and there'll be businesses that will defy that. You better figure out a way to deal with it with people saying, no, I'm not going back to one. Figure out something else, because if I go back to one more time, my business, my economy, my employees are done, and they'll just defy them. So there's health issues both ways, David. It's not coronavirus health and economy no health. There's health and fear and concern and death in both categories.
So you don't think we should wait till we get something to help with this disease before we go back and anything? So you're saying that businesses should open even though nobody will be coming in because everybody's going to be dead. Go ahead, Don.
Yes, David, I'd like to agree with you. Even the score, 2-2, because the name of the game is to live, gentlemen. If I were to offer both of you two gentlemen, Bruce, you and Darius, $1 million versus your health, which one would you choose?
Well, what's $1 million related to?
$1 million is related to opening up the economy due to a high proportion of the virus attacking your life.
Let me put the question this way.
You don't know the effect it's going to have on the economy. I mean, Trump has been shooting money out, stimulus money out, like it's water. The budget is never a concern with him. When it was concerned with Obama and other presidents, now the budget is not a concern. We are the wealthiest nation in the world, but we have the most people dying in the world due to this virus. And Bruce and Darius, it could come to your home tomorrow. And it disproportionately affects people of color, by the way. So
not just them. Not just them.
And people
with higher categories too.
Let me finish, brother. Let me finish. You know, you're high risk too, Bruce. You're high risk. Well, your health is more important than money, man. Your health is more important than money.
That statement alone is true. But
I hear a
but.
Come on with it.
Yes, but that doesn't mean the economy can be shut down for, what, another year, 2 years, and we all live off the government? Are you crazy, Don? That can't happen. We don't have that kind of money to do that.
Why do
we
you
guys,
do that?
Not only this, though. Let's say this. If you say, you can have, is money or health more important? Let's look at the poorest countries in the world, and let's look at their health care. Let's look at what their health is like as compared to Americans. The reason why we have such good health here is because we have good health care, because we're a prosperous nation. If the economy crashes, we'll be a third world nation, and then guess what? Where our health will be then. You guys don't get it. Like, you're trying to say it's either or. It's not a zero-sum game. What I'm saying is you have to calculate your risk. There's a risk that even if there were no coronavirus, you might die in a car accident on your way to work. That's more likely to happen than you getting corona. Now, do you take the risk of driving anyway, or do you stay home inside to ensure that you never get in a car accident? Come on, guys.
Yeah,
the death rate is less than
0.5%.
That's
not true.
It is true. The death rate is less than 0.5%. My point
I'm sorry,
is, you've got to
take
calculated
like
risk.
People dying in cars.
Well,
no, there are far many more people dying of car accidents than they are of coronavirus.
Not 1,000 people in a day, not 100,000, not thousands of people in a day. That doesn't happen like that. So, but anyway, Michael, where are you? What are your thoughts on this conversation?
Yeah, I you know what? To be honest, I'm on both sides with this one. I struggle with this one because I understand, you got to open the economy up. We can't continue to go on because we will become a third world country. Then we'll be Haiti. Where will we be then? So I do agree. But on that same note, I have people in my family who are very high risk, like my mother. And I don't want to risk my mother going out catching the disease or my daughter going out catching the disease, bringing it home to my mother. So it's really just a tough decision, guys. It really is. And I wish it wasn't politicized. I think the fact that it's politicized is making it harder to solve the problem. I think if they didn't make it political and both sides, smart people on both sides sat in a room and tried to figure this out, I think they could figure it out. But it's so politicized that it's just becoming a fight. It's just something else for the right and the left to fight about. And that's just horrible.
If we would listen to the medical authority and the medical professionals, we really wouldn't be in this situation that we're in now. If we would have listened to the medical authority, because the medical authority tried, excuse me, sir, the medical authority tried to give us good, sound information and suggestions. They really did. But the thing is, we didn't listen.
Bruce, where
hey,
were
Don?
You? The medical community is the one. Don, you're not even listening. The medical community is the reason why we're even in this mess. It was the World Health Organization that told the United States that this virus could not be spread person to person. It was not communicable, that it wasn't a problem coming out of China. So that was the medical community telling us that there was no problem. Now, hold on. Let me finish. When Trump closed the border, it was the medical community said, oh, you don't need to close the border to China because it's not a threat. So the medical community
Darius,
is the
let
one
me
who
ask
has
you.
Us in the first place.
Darius,
okay,
Darius.
Ron,
if I may.
Ron, wait, let Ron jump in. Ron, go ahead.
Okay, so a question for Darius, if I may. So, yes, the World Health Organization got some things wrong. Nobody's denying that. But how do you explain that so many countries in Europe got it right, okay, even though Italy, Spain, France, England had astronomical cases, just like New York City did, and they got it right. They did what they had to do. You know, they stayed shut down for 3 months, and now they're able to reopen, and their economies are opening again. They're open for tourism, but not from America and not from Brazil. So New York, if you compare New York and the greater New York City area, they followed the model like Europe did, like the Western European countries did, and they got the curve way down. The states that reopened early and the states that actually never really shut down, like Florida, okay, we're in a hot mess right now. So I ask you, if the World Health Organization was putting out that information, it was to the whole world, not just to the U.S., but other countries got it right, or at least better than we did. I should say that.
And then, they got it. You're absolutely right. They got it right, Ron. And then they listened to the medical authorities. And then the leadership made them listen, and they did it. Here we
and
had
they didn't make it
the
a political.
Same,
they didn't make it a political
thing. Excuse me. And we had the same opportunity back in January and February, but we had an idiot leader saying, oh, it's only a hoax. It's only a hoax. It'll be gone next week. It's only a hoax. What kind of mess is that?
Well, first of all, If one of the key elements, I think we all agree on this, one of the key elements is the wearing of masks. All of us.
Right.
All of us.
Yes.
Okay. We agree on that. But at the beginning, and you've heard it touched on, wear masks, don't wear masks, good, bad. So there was a lot of mixed messages to begin with. Not now, but to begin with. Okay. And one of the things I can relate to and relate to all of you in Michigan is we have a huge element in this society that is ignoring wearing masks. And that is one of the Achilles heels to our performance.
Starting with the president. What? Starting with the president.
Exactly.
The president, yes, he could. I would agree that he could. If he wanted to set an even better example, he could wear it every time he – well, yes, he could. I don't disagree with that. However, the president not wearing a mask with all the tests that goes around – just let me finish – without all the tests going around him, it's not for the sake of him not being protected. So we can't say that his example is making – his example is making a major part of the population not wear masks. They're not wearing masks.
Yes, it is.
They don't.
Yes,
they,
it is.
No,
Bruce.
It's not. They're
it
not
is.
Wearing
it is
masks. Let me finish. Let me finish. Then you can comment. They're not wearing masks because they don't. They need to. And we all know what that group is, or the majority of that group. I see it all the time. And the only reason some of them are wearing masks in Michigan now is that we have guards at the gates, at the store doors that says you don't get in this store unless you have a mask on.
Bruce, what group are you specifically referring to? Is this a group that doesn't exist in Europe and other countries?
No, it exists everywhere. The youth.
Well, so why did they follow the rules in other countries?
Good question, and we didn't. That's an excellent question. Why didn't our youth follow that?
Hey, Bruce, let me ask this question to you.
That's a good question.
Why didn't the President of the United States make a mandate that everyone had to wear masks? He refused to do a national mandate to help the country by saying everybody have to wear masks. That's why it's down to the governor and the mayors fussing and arguing because there's
no
leadership
David,
at the top
no.
saying that.
He said, to begin with, it should be regulated and edict, if edict is the right word, by states. And if he has to step in on a nationwide basis, that would come afterwards. Because every state can have different situations. So I don't disagree with the states, because if he would have come in and said mandate overall, the states probably said, well, you can't tell us what to do. We're in charge of that. It would have been wrong any way he put it. Let's be honest about it. Not really.
We would have looked like a leader. We were like a country that had a leader anyway. We would have looked like we were leaders of the world if we had.
We properly pushed it. He properly pushed it to the states to begin with because of the intricacies and differences of all the states and the various degrees of the infection and everything. But bottom line is,
that's like the coach.
Example,
that's like the coach of the football team saying whatever the quarterback says is okay. Wow.
You're just not going to give him any inch of room, are you?
Hey,
why
let me bring in
whole
room
where
rumors do.
Because you should. You just said
hey,
he's
Bruce,
the leader of the country. He's not an idiot.
Hey,
he's a leader of the country.
Okay, Bruce, let me ask
you
a question. Let me ask you a question. I want to bring it home to Bruce real quick. Bruce, you live in Michigan, right?
Yeah.
Okay. About 2 months ago, Donald Trump had never worn a mask in public. Coming to Michigan, and Henry Ford said, Donald Trump, if you come to Ford, you better wear a mask or don't come. He realized economically that he needed that vote. And what did he do? He put the mask on for the first time in Detroit, Michigan. If it's political and economically for him, he'll do anything.
That's not what happened. That's not what happened.
I'm
going to tell you why. There was an interview last week. I'm getting ready to tell you. And I want to correct this, not against you, Don, but because I know that the man's voice is a primary source of information to all of our viewers out there. So I feel a personal responsibility. Our listeners, I'm sorry. Anyway, that was a joke. So what I'm saying is he had an interview on Fox. He had an interview before going over there. And one of the questions that they asked him was, why doesn't he wear a mask? He said, I don't wear a mask because, Rick, typically I'm in a bubble. Everybody stays away from me, social distancing anyway. I'm protected by the Secret Service. I'm surrounded by all these people that get tested every single day. There's no need for me to wear a mask. I'm already in a bubble, which makes sense. Now, and then after that, he said, now, when I go to Henry Ford to go visit, I'm going to put on a mask there because I'm going to be in a hospital. It's going to be in a setting where there are ill people there. So even if there was no corona, I would wear a mask. So it was not that he did it
for economic purposes, not
that he was threatened.
He didn't go to the hospital then, brother. He went to Ford Motor Company. I'm saying when he went to Ford Motor Company, he put on the mask. That's what happened. I know because I know because I had reporters that reported it at Fox, NBC, and ABC.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is his explanation for that is if I'm not in a controlled environment, I'm not going to wear a mask. I'll wear a mask if I'm not in a controlled environment. That's what that was. It wasn't that it was some kind of threat where he had to do it or else. That's crazy. That's not what it was at all. But this is the kind of stuff that we get all the time. That's why it doesn't matter who wins or who loses. And also in the meantime,
Uh-oh.
Hello?
We lose everybody?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I'm here. Michael's here.
Okay.
No, Darius,
so I was just
pointing
out how you're more likely.
Oh, there he goes.
There he is.
Okay, I have a couple of questions that came up for Darius. Darius, I have a couple of questions that emails that came on for you. They said, seems like you are a person that supports the President of the United States. Two questions. One, tell us what the President of the United States has done to help people in this pandemic. And two, tell us what the President of the United States has done for the United States since he's been President of the United States. And it was directly to you. So if you could answer those questions for us, somebody's listening wants to ask you those questions.
Darius,
right,
I'm going to have enough time to explain it all.
No. Exactly, that's a lot. But I'll start off with some of the key factors that we use to judge a president's success, the success of a presidency. So let's start off with, first of all, the stock market went way up as soon as he got elected. Let's start off with the company.
Well, that was because of
the
president
tax
before.
Rate.
Oh, David, don't go there.
Come on, man.
Oh,
man.
I'm always shocked when you say the truth. Don't go there.
Because of the president before. Wait a minute, guys.
Okay, I thought the question was with me.
Yeah,
so let's
serious
say
this. Talk. Let's
if,
serious
if,
talk.
If you guys want to debate the economy and why it was Trump and not Obama, I can do that with you if you want me to go down that route, because I can explain that very easily.
No, we don't want to hear all those wrong answers, but go ahead and answer the question from the caller.
All right. So he cut tax rates by bringing for corporations, which means the corporations that were going to move overseas and move jobs overseas or the ones that were already there came back. Barack Obama said personally, manufacturing jobs are not coming back. Donald Trump can't wave a magic wand and bring this back. That's what he said out of his own mouth. So now you want to say he claims credit for the economy when he said those jobs weren't coming back? Come on. Okay, so anyway, you had 8 million more people on welfare, 12 million people more on food stamps when Obama was in office. You had the lowest participation rate that we ever had. And I'm bringing that up because Donald Trump lifted all of those areas when you say, what has he done for the country? Now, internationally, he's gotten us out of, pretty much for the most part, out of Iraq. He's gotten us out of Afghanistan. He didn't get us into Syria, which is where we were headed. He's putting the restrictions back on Iran, so they're not making threats and taking our sailors and soldiers hostage. He has restricted China from stealing intellectual property from the U.S. and from taking advantage of our economy by having favored nation status. So I can go on and on and on about what he's done. It's so many things. Now, on the coronavirus thing, I think if you ask the governors, even Cuomo, they said that the president helped them out by giving them everything they needed. They said they always had assistance. They said that every time they called, they got a quick response. Cuomo said everything he needed to fight this fight, the president gave him that and more. He overproduced. So I hope that answers their questions. I can go down a couple more lines in terms of the tax breaks and the incentives for minorities, for black kids, inner city black kids, to be able to go to charter schools or to be able to go to college by increasing the HBCU fund. I mean, it goes on and on and on, man. This guy's done more in 3 years than I've seen some presidents do in 8.
The First Step program for prisoners, all kinds of things.
Exactly.
And David, I'll just add one more thing to what Darius said. You asked about, well, you know, it was Obama's economy. You can't be serious, because every time Obama had something go wrong, he blamed it on Bush. So you can't have it both ways. Well, that was
Bush. That's wrong, Bruce. That's wrong, Bruce. He never blamed it on Bush at all. He just fixed it. He never blamed it on Bush.
Oh, I see.
In fact, he and Bush are very good friends.
Well, that's fine. Why can't he be? We're friends, right? We disagree, but we're friends. You don't have to be enemies to disagree or have different perspectives.
You never heard Obama say anything about Bush during his entire administration. If you find out where he said anything about, please send that. Please send that to us, please. He took over the administration that Bush had left him, and he fixed it. He fixed it. The automotive industry had crashed. The housing industry had crashed. The automotive industry had crashed. The banking industry had crashed. Every system that made America great had crashed. The deficit
was watched over the slowest growth in almost history.
Hey, Bruce, let me ask you this question. Bruce, let me ask you this question, because I always hear what you just said about it is the slowest recovery ever. Do you at least agree that when Obama got the keys to the car was in the ditch? And when Trump got the keys to the car was driving nicely on the highway? Do you at least agree to that?
No, I wouldn't begin to agree with that.
Oh,
so
my
the car
God.
Wasn't in the ditch? The car wasn't in the ditch when Obama got the keys to it?
It wasn't as good as it was before coronavirus. Nobody's has been.
Trump
has produced the strongest economy in the last, 50 years?
But he didn't
So why is his rating
out
in the tubes?
He inherited
the economy out of the ditch.
You got to be kidding, guys. You really see it as he inherited it? Oh, my God.
Yes, of course he did. Yes.
No, he didn't.
Yes.
He did not. As Darius said, Obama said, those businesses, those jobs are never coming back. What's he got, a magic wand? So
but the economy, the stock market was climbing when Obama gave the keys to him.
Well,
the economy was doing good.
Michael, I will agree with that. The economy ended up better at the end of Obama's 8 years than when he started. Yes, yes, yes. But after Obama handed off the slowest growth economy in almost modern history, a rocket ship was launched in the name of Trump's economy that took off like crazy.
Oh, my God. Bruce.
But who built the launching pad? Who built the launching pad for
the
rocket
to
launch?
He built that, too, because it sure wasn't Obama. No, it wasn't.
No.
The automotive industry got fixed, Bruce, under Obama's administration in Michigan.
I don't argue the fact that he helped the auto industry. Yes, he did. I didn't say he did nothing good. I didn't say that.
Furthermore, Bush, he didn't do a very good job of the economy. And so Obama came in, and on his daddy's deathbed, he said, "Obama, I'd like for you to do the eulogy to my daddy." Come on, man. That speaks loud.
I don't know what that has to do with anything.
Yeah, what's that got to do with the economy?
What's that got to do with the economy? I'll tell you what. If a guy messed up the economy, he sure wouldn't be speaking at my daddy's funeral.
I didn't say Obama isn't a decent person. I said he was an average at best president, and he doesn't get credit for an economy that took off after he left. I'm sorry.
Let me jump in with this, because since Obama has come in, will you agree that gun violence has gotten out of control across the United States? Would you also agree that racism has become a major issue since this president has become president of the United States? Do you believe that
Let me agree. I think I can agree with you in a different way. Has racism the sore that's been picked open again? Has it gotten worse since Obama took office? Yes, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's
not Obama.
I mean,
Trump.
Hold on. I said excuse me.
Since
Trump took office, but that doesn't mean it's Trump's fault necessarily. There are a lot of things going on politically where they want to see this president fail, and they're going to do everything they can to make it. They have been for the last 3.5 years. To make him fail, look bad, miserable, They're not cooperating with him at all. Yes, the Republicans sometimes do not cooperate with the Democrats as well, but it's at a whole new art level right now, a whole new skill level of disagreement and political tricks. And those are mostly being played by the Democrats on him.
George Floyd and Ben Soli is tied to them trying to hurt Trump. That's what you're saying?
What's that?
Racial injustice is going on in this country because we're trying to hurt Trump. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I think,
Michael, you're breaking
maybe,
up.
Maybe for another, for next week, maybe this. You know what concerns me more than left and right Republican and Democrat? Is whether we're in a struggle now of some type of socialism versus democracy. That's what's scaring me. That it's beyond politics right now, and it's becoming a struggle for what this country. Yes, it definitely can be improved. Yeah, racism is one of those things at the top of the list. But are we going to have a country that's unrecognizable in a year or so? That's what's concerning me, and I bet it's concerning all of you too.
I think it's wrong for us. We got a short-term memory. If we want to say that there were no race issues when Obama was in office, I don't know if you guys remember, Obama had to give a national address on race on prime time because it had gotten so bad. You guys forgot about that. You forgot about Michael Brown and Ferguson. That happened when Obama was in office, and what erupted after that? What erupted after Trayvon Martin? What erupted in this country after Skip Gates got arrested by a cop trying to get into his home in Harvard, and Obama had to invite the police officer to have a beer summit? I don't know if you guys remember all of that. You got very, very good memories, convenient memories, I guess. But, yeah, there were serious race issues when Obama was in office. And more so, it came from black people a lot because every time somebody would attack a policy of Obama, everybody would say, oh, it's because he's black. Nobody wanted to debate on the merits of what he was doing. And, by the way, he had the highest debt than every person combined before him. Somebody mentioned something about the debt before. I'm talking about all of them combined. So race was a constant issue because if you remember when the Tea Party tried to oppose the excess taxes, they said that was racist. When Congress tried to oppose his liberal policies, they said, oh, that's racist. And so you couldn't even have a fair debate or disagree with Obama because they were blamed it on race. So don't tell me that race wasn't an issue before Trump got in office. It was a huge issue.
There is race has been an issue for 400 years.
All right, guys, so we only got about 10 minutes left in the show, and, you know, Spencer comes in and talks about sports, and he came in, so I just have a couple of questions for him.
He's our sports savior.
There's a couple of things I want to talk about. One is, do you think the NFL and all the sports teams should play sports, or how should they play during this period of time? I know that's big debate right now, but the second thing to talk about, harassment. The NFL, they got these NFL team, 15 women are accusing the NFL team of harassment. What is all that about? It just seems like everything is just negative that we're seeing in the news about everything these days. But let's talk about football and playing and stadiums opening and all that. Where's your thoughts on that? Hello?
Who's that question to?
Okay. What?
No, who was that?
It was Spencer.
You
know,
there we go.
Spencer, was it?
Hello?
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. Well, my thought was, first of all, hi to everybody that's listening in right now. My thoughts on the NFL, I mean, I'm a football guy. I definitely want to see it long as stay within the protocol. Maybe go the same route that the NBA is doing, you know, having these guys in a bubble, so to say, and making sure they don't go off and, I guess, go to the clubs and stuff like that. Have some type of regulations so to make sure that the players stay safe while traveling, while also when they're just at home, period. you know, just keep it to a professional level. But I would like to see the game. I would definitely like to see some football. Maybe you could keep the fans in the stands at a certain distance, not sell all the tickets. Obviously, there's going to be some type of thing going on, I guess, with the tickets. You know, just limited amount of tickets you sell, and you can have a social distancing with that. And the team you're talking about, the Washington Redskins, very bad right now. It's a lot of people that's come out. It's a lot of things within our organization that's very negative. That's showing, you know, that I'm pretty sure that the commission does not like, especially with these allegations, with the name changing. I thought that was good. But now, on the flip side of that, all these women coming out. I haven't heard much about it, but I guess once they do the investigation, and we'll see, just see what they come up with. But right now, it's not a good look for the organization or the NFL.
Spencer, you know, there's 72 players that have tested positive for coronavirus in the NFL. So you think they should go on and play?
Well, after you quarantine yourself, I mean, for an example, Russell Westbrook, he had tested positive. But, you know, he went into quarantine. You know, as long as you do your desert, you know, every week or so, let's hope it doesn't spread, but I feel like they just do everything right, that it should be okay. They should be okay. And, you know, if a player tests positive, then you notify all the people that's been around them. And honestly, it affects the outcome of the game, period. Because let's say your star quarterback that's positive. Now, he's not going to play that next game. That give the opposing team a better chance at winning that game because your star player is out. Same thing with the NBA. Same thing with all these other sports. You know, it's going to affect the whole dynamic of it. But I think it should go on, you know. And also, I think that if a certain player feels like he shouldn't play, he doesn't have to play. You know, I think he definitely has that right to say, no, I don't want to play because of this issue or that issue. And so that also is going to affect the game to see how many people actually, how many of these stars come out and actually be like, I'm not going to play. Because I think starting Monday or sometime next week, they're supposed to be starting training camp. Rookies first, and quarterbacks and injured. And then everybody has to be in training camp by July 29th. So I think in these next coming weeks, we'll see the game will, you know, how the whole game will be played and how it's going to affect the season if more players become positive.
So Spencer, I'll ask the question. You're saying that people should play, but are you saying that they should open it up for ticket sales? Or are you saying they should play on the field and then they just tell the world what the scores were? How do you think that should go?
Well, they told us.
I think both is possible. There was just a sporting event. It was a race event that just had 30,000 fans in the stadium, but it was all spread out evenly, and it worked. So if they could go off that model, and stadiums, you know, sometimes can hold 80,000, but if you sell like 30,000 seats, then I think it'll even itself out. You check temperatures, you check all that, and it'll basically be the same as if you just go into your local grocery store. You know, masks are mandated, and some of these either grocery stores or some of these places you're going to now, they still check your temperature, so you just use that and just bring it. And just bring it to the sports world. Because I think
Spencer,
they're about the same amount of people, less, but go ahead, I'm listening.
Spencer, I'm kind of with you. I think most people would like to see sports come back in some way. It's a good release. It's a good entertainment. It's part of Americana. But the next question that's going to come out of people's mouths, I think, and rightly so, is if they're figuring out – can you hear me, Spencer?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. If they're making calculated risks to open up and play sports, which is kind of what you described, and I don't disagree with that. The next question is going to be all these businesses and companies saying, all right, why don't I get that opportunity to figure out the right calculated risk so I can open? And right so, how would you address that if someone said, okay, sports, why not my livelihood?
Well, that's a good question, and I think we're already doing that now. As far as I think some cities
are trying to put the genie back in the bottle in some cases, and it's not. I don't think it's going to happen. So we have to figure out a way to be smart about being out and about, whatever that means, because it's not going to go backwards. I'll bet you money.
All right. We only got about 4 minutes left, but so I want to, you know, actually, Michael, you've been pretty quiet today. What's on your mind? What's keeping you quiet? You must have something you want to say, and we only got like 3 minutes, so you got to get it into 3 minutes.
Okay, no, I've actually just been enjoying hearing everyone else on all my colleagues talk. It's been a great conversation today. And what's on my mind is that after all this going on, coronavirus, crazy stuff in the world, those police officers that killed Breonna Taylor have not yet been arrested. They're still living a good, free life, and I think that's horrible, and that should stay on everyone's mind.
Okay. That's interesting. So, Darius, what's on your mind?
What's on my mind is this whole thing about the school. I think canceling school is going to be a bad idea. I think it's not the numbers just don't bear out the concern. Once again, like I said, you're more likely to die in a car accident. I looked it up. Over 3,500 people die a day in car accidents. We don't stop driving. Calculated risk is all I'm saying. I'm not saying that this thing is not real. It's not serious. I'm saying, is this a threat to the level of destroying our entire economy, not educating our children properly? I just don't know. I do know. I believe in my heart that it's not. And so that scares me about what's going to happen to this country because of this virus.
So what you're saying is putting 3,500 kids in a closed building is okay with you?
Yeah, I'll tell you why. The number of kids who have died from coronavirus that are school age across the whole United States is less than 10. And so it's even less when you talk about kids that don't have pre-existing conditions. So, like a state like California, I heard they're talking about not reopening their schools. There were zero deaths in California of school-age children that had no pre-existing conditions. Zero. I don't know how that warrants you closing down the entire school system.
On the record this morning, it said that one-third of Florida's children have all tested positive for coronavirus. So that means one-third of all the kids in Florida are positive. So you're saying those one-third of the state of all the kids in Florida should not go to school, but two-thirds should, and those should stay home? How are you going to work that?
I don't know. I'm just saying I don't think you need to close the entire school system down. And understand this, too, that testing positive for coronavirus doesn't mean you're sick. And testing positive for coronavirus doesn't mean that you're going to die. And that's how we're treating it.
David, you need to pass the ball to me and Ron. I have two grandchildren. I don't want them to bring it home to me.
You stay safe, Brother Don. You stay safe, all my brothers on the radio.
All right, guys, we will be back again next Sunday. Conversation again. Bring it back again.
I would like to wish
Darius good luck on his interview for Vice President of the United States. But anyway,
hey, Ron,
under the Trump campaign.
Count on your most, guys.
Bye.